Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
First, it seems that the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Health Minister Stephen Donnelly only became aware last night that there were serious problems with the country's contact tracing system for COVID-19. Today, the HSE sent over 2,000 text messages to people who tested positive for COVID, telling them, in effect, to do their own contact tracing. Those with COVID were asked to ring their close contacts and advise them to isolate for 14 days and contact their GP for a COVID test. In a moment, we'll hear from a GP in Drogheda about the extra pressure this is putting on her services. But before that, I'm joined by RTE's political correspondent, Paul Cunningham. Paul, this has caused a bit of a stir in Leinster House and the Dáil today. And the timeline that's emerged of how this problem has developed and when the government knew about it is raising an awful lot of questions.
I think that's the key thing, Cormac, is the question that both the Minister for Health and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin only learned of this problem last night. We have a statement which was released from the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, and the way it's phrased is that the Minister for Health learned of this operational decision taken by the HSE on Tuesday night. And this begs the question, according to the opposition, why was it that he was only informed of such a situation? And why didn't he know more about the tracing problems being experienced by the HSE to be able to do something about it? So it's been something of a cauldron of activity here at Leinster House.
Absolutely. But he has been aware. He was aware, of course, the Minister for Health, about the problems in the contact tracing systems. There's no question about that. Dr. Andy on RTE 2 weeks ago said they were overwhelmed almost. GPs have been complaining about it. The INTO has said there were problems with the contact tracing system, that it was shambolic. He was made aware. The question, I suppose, is, was the Cabinet discussing this yesterday? Were they asking questions of Stephen Donnelly? But he's saying it wasn't raised at Cabinet. Is that right?
Yes, that was to do the two cabinet meetings yesterday, one in the morning and one in the afternoon by video conference. And that related to the question of house parties and fines for people who are organising it, and also for floods in Cork. So they didn't get down to this. And when it comes down to this question of the state of knowledge, yes, the minister was aware that many people involved in our health service were concerned about tracing. But this, to a certain extent, is explained. And when you look at the minister's statement this afternoon, relates to some of the successes on the other side, which relates to the Irish testing system, in which we have now increased testing capacity to 120,000 per week. Taoiseach Micheál Martin was talking in the Dáil that if you look at a sort of effectively a bar graph of how that compares per capita with other European states, we're doing extremely well. So there's nearly a consequence to extra testing. This led to a problem, and the HSE, as he terms in the statement, reconfigured the call structure to deal with the 1,500 positive cases per day this week. So you can see that the government is trying to say, we are doing something, which is more testing. We are now trying to do more tracing. We've already got 400 tracers, with at least 70 being recruited every week. So we're going to get over this little problem.
Yeah, okay. A big question mark around the contracts, though, given to them, and or how they're recruited, because Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit argued in the Dáil that the problems with the tracing system originated in the contracts being offered until recently.
And by the way, I had the contract in front of me. It was a zero-hour contract. Not a shadow of a doubt, right? It's littered with, we can get rid of you, we don't have to pay you in this instance, and so on, right? And then they scrambled because I embarrassed them last week, because I was tipped off by somebody on one of these contracts, absolutely disgusted. Somebody with a postgraduate degree being treated like this. No wonder you can't get contract tracers if these are the contracts you hand them. And then the suggestion we should siphon it off from the HSE, even worse, by Alan Kelly today. Madness.
Major, major pressure exerted by the opposition, but not just Richard Boyd Barrett, Paul. Catherine Murphy of the Social Democrats got in on it. Labour's Alan Kelly, Mary Lou MacDonald of Sinn Féin. What kind of pressure did they try and put on the leader of Fianna Fáil and the Taoiseach?
Yeah, it was definitely focused on this issue of tracing. The dynamic was interesting during leaders' questions because Micheál Martin was trying to bring the attention back onto the effect of success when it comes to testing and sort of indicating that this was nearly a the problem with tracing was a consequence of our success in elevating the number of tests that are being conducted each week. And yet, every single time the opposition were coming back, Alan Kelly, Mary Lou McDonald, Catherine Murphy saying, we're not talking about the question of testing here. We're talking about the question of tracing and how week in, week out in the Dáil, we've been pointing out that there's a problem, and now it's ballooned into this crisis. And so, but it ended up being something of a ping-pong, Cormac. There wasn't any admission of guilt here. This was a question of two sides slugging it out, but there wasn't any result at the end of it.
Okay, before I let you go, Paul, details have been emerging as well about new laws on fines for those who breach COVID-19 restrictions.
Yeah, we have had, there was some, as I mentioned to you earlier on, what we did have was a video conference last night. It was effectively being led by the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, and what she was trying to get to was these fines that were going to be imposed on people who weren't abiding by the new restrictions were going to come under level 5. And she reiterated that this was something they didn't want to sort of start with. The Gardaí who were going to be enforcing this were going to try and do everything in their power to cajole and convince people to do what they're supposed to do, but if it reached the point where people weren't, then some fairly stiff things were going to happen. Number one, which was that on the first offence, if you're organising a house party or a gathering outside, the fine would be €1,000 or up to 3 months in prison or both. A second offence would be a fine of €1,500 or up to 3 months in prison or both. And the third or subsequent offence is a fine of up to €2,500 or prison up to 6 months. And it was also worth stating that if a person is attending a house party or trying to earn a house party or enter a house party and does not disperse under the Gardaí direction, they too, under the legislation, face a fine of up to €1,000.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, thank you very much indeed for outlining all of that. I'm joined now by Dr. Amy Morgan, who's a GP, probably experiencing, like an awful lot of GPs in the country, a little bit more pressure today as a result of last night's announcement. Amy Morgan, is that correct? Are you experiencing more calls? What more have you had to do today?
Hi, Cormac. Yeah, we have actually, and certainly from the moment our phone lines opened this morning, we experienced a flurry of calls, specifically in relation to the news that broke late last night in relation to people who are identified as close contacts of people who tested positive. So, certainly our first hour this morning was taken up with trying to triage these people, trying to prioritise who needed testing. So it was busy. We were dealing with a lot of stressed and worried patients, and I think, the communication came filtered down to us very late last night, so we had to kind of, ready ourselves and try and get a protocol in place in the practice. So it was challenging when we're trying to provide normal medical services as well.
Yeah, without doubt. And when close contacts call you, Amy, are they clear as to what they have to do?
I have to say, still a lot of the time they're not. And if anything, I think this has added to the confusion about what they're meant to do. I've just taken a call there just before I came on from somebody who was notified that she, a friend of hers had tested positive the week prior, so she had absolutely no clue whether she was a close contact or not. So, you can see the difficulties that arise. People are really unsure what they're supposed to do, the knock-on effect for those in their household, whether they're meant to be going to school. And then, these are calls that we're having to take, we're having to counsel people. And then obviously now we have been asked to step in, give a dig out, and then refer these close contacts who previously would have been notified by the track and trace system.
And these
but it
people,
now has fallen to us.
Sorry to cut across you, but these people are supposed to, having been, say if I was tested positive last weekend for COVID-19, I'm supposed to ring my close contacts and say, you need to self-isolate and you need to contact Dr. Amy Morgan or your GP. Now, when you call, or when these people called you today, were they self-isolating?
No, because up until the point that they received the notification from their friend or their family member, they had, a lot of these people were what we call asymptomatic. They had no symptoms whatsoever. So they were just following the normal public health advice that the rest of us have been following. So they weren't under any, suspicion that they had come into contact with someone who was a positive case. So, obviously this is these are relating to people who were testing in terms of positive over a period, we were told, from Friday to Sunday. And these are the people, the close contacts of these positive cases from that time period, that have now been asked to actually ring us as their GP to organise contact testing. Prior to this, we have been only referring people who had symptoms. So generally, people were getting a kind of clear picture. They were ringing us with symptoms at the time that we were referring them off for the test. We were giving them the public health advice. Whereas now, this element of kind of the close contact aspect has broken down temporarily, and we've been asked to step into the breach.
For a temporary period is what the HSE says, that GPs are being asked to help out on a temporary basis. Is there a fear among GPs that this could drag on longer than it was supposed to initially?
Yeah, there is a genuine fear, because we were told that this relates to a specific period and that we were going to be asked to refer these close contacts for a period of 7 to 10 days. Now, you know, obviously that does raise issues in terms of our confidence in the communication strategy here, the testing strategy. We certainly know our public health colleagues are overworked. They're working as hard as they can, and they have long been advocating for, during that time period in the summer where we looked like we had this thing under control, to build up capacity in the system, to, you know, recruit more contact tracers. You know, at the end of the day, I am not qualified in public health. I'm a GP. I have a job to do. We have shown time and time again how adaptable and flexible we are during this crisis. We have kept our doors open. And, you know, we really need to see that there is a strategy, you know, after this period, that we are not going to be asked to be put in this position again.
OK. Dr. Amy Morgan, a GP in Drogheda, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.